Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it, baby. You found it. I'm sure glad you did. Taking a break from painting a little bit tonight. We've got a just a heck of a cool show. A very cool guest tonight. I am a huge fan of Miss or Mrs. I don't really know. Elle Kazaza. Elle, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. Like I said, big fan. I've been checking out your work, and it's just fabulous. I love it. I love it.
Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, you grew up, I was looking through my notes here. You grew up in Chicago, right?
Well, I would say I've grown up as a grown-up in Chicago. I actually grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Gotcha.
But I feel really? Like I came into adulthood in Chicago. Yeah.
Gotcha. I grew up in Detroit. So whereabouts in – but I have family all over Michigan. Whereabouts in Michigan did you get your start there?
Oh, Ann Arbor. Good old Ann Arbor.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fun places when I was a kid, and it was a fancy. This, I'm going to show my age. I'm probably a little bit down the trough from you age-wise. But back in the day, there was a place out there we used to go to called the Nectarine Ballroom, and that was the place, baby. It was a 45-minute drive, but it was worth it. It was worth it. Again, that
you
was
mean
a
the
long
Necto?
Time ago.
Is it called?
It
might be called the Necto now. Yeah, I know of the Necto. That's awesome.
That was the place. But, you know, the interesting thing is, now again, this was a million years ago. Let me put it this way, folks. Duran Duran was in the top 40, and for the first time, that's what the era we're talking. But when we really wanted to cut loose, it was a 6-hour drive to Chicago. We would drive over to Chicago,
Yeah. Go
to a club there called Medusa's. That was the place. A lot of fun, a lot of memories. So that's cool. So you said, Ann Arbor's just too uptight and conservative. I got to get over to Chicago. I'm kidding. For those in the know, Ann Arbor's far from conservative. That's cool, though. You know? I like Chicago.
Yeah. Me too.
A lot of fun, a lot of fun. Was it just the hustle bustle, the city, or the music scene and arts and whatnot that got you over to Chicago? Or was it a boy?
Well,
or
you know,
a girl,
what originally
or whatever.
What originally took me to the city was I came here for a college to study. You know, pop and jazz voice, like contemporary voice. And then I graduated,
nice.
And I was already gigging in the scene, and I was like, well, I'm not going to leave. I'm, like, doing my thing. So, and I just really, I don't know, I just love it here. It's got everything I want, and it's got a lake, so it's got, like, this really nice juxtaposition of, like, city and neighborhood, and it's got, like, a very welcoming community. So I just stayed.
And really, I mean, talk about history, you know, even Kerouac wrote about the jazz clubs and the beat scene and all of that. And, you get every city I visited, it has a certain vibe to it, you know, and, a certain resonance, I guess. And Chicago, you can feel that, you know, you go, you're like, okay, New Orleans, another town like that, different ones. I mean, it's really pronounced in Chicago. I enjoy visiting Chicago. That's cool,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
That is cool. So you went to college there and got into it. Now, I ask this question of a lot of – I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I paint pictures of things and people,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I do for a living. But all of my friends growing up and even today, the majority are in the – it seems – either the music business or theater or film or something like that. Just how it is. But I always ask, there was a moment when I was a kid, again, a million years ago, when you know, I was that guy that was always drawing, always had a sketch pad, and I was always drawing. And somebody bought a drawing off me in a Denny's restaurant, paid me cash, $100, and the light bulb went off at that moment when I'm like, ooh, I could do this for a living. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a moment when you said, singing and the stage and performing, this is what I need to be doing?
Yeah, you know what the moment was? It was in middle school. I was a sixth grader, and all my friends had decided to do the musical. And I was like, no, that's not my thing. Like, I was in choirs at this point, and I was singing. And then I went and I saw the musical that all my friends were in, and I just was like, why didn't I do this? Like, what's wrong with me? And that's, like, when I, like, realized, like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I was, like, 11 years old, and I was just like, that's captured. I have to do this.
Fantastic. Now, when that happened, did you suddenly become the – I grew up with three sisters, so I kind of – you know, there was a lot going on as far as extracurricular activities, jazz and gymnastics mm-hmm. and ballet and all of that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. Did you do all of that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was in choir since I was, like, eight. And mm-hmm. I did, you know, I did basically all the artsy, fartsy theater choir stuff. That was like my thing.
Gotcha.
Growing up. And I took a little dance, but I kind of was like, ooh, that's not, because originally my like life goal was to be on the stage on Broadway, like as a musical theater performer. And then there was a moment I was like, ooh, that's not quite for me. Like, I like it a lot, but it's not quite my style, but I still want to sing. So then I was going to go into opera because I was like, well, I'm going to go to college for this. And that kind of the default, like singing is, you know, because at least in high school, that's what most kids, I mean, I studied classical music in high school because that's just what you do, you know, like it's not. And then one of the schools I was auditioning at also had this jazz program, and I had been in a musical for like, that it's called like the 1940s Radio Hour, and it's basically all jazz
together.
Oh, wow. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just try out for this jazz and contemporary music program. And that's what ended up like. I was like, oh, that was like a light bulb where it's like, oh, I could do like non-classical or theater. Like, it didn't even occur to me that like growing up, like, oh, pop music is a career. Like, I had until like college. And I was like, oh, like I could do that. So, yeah, that's originally. So all my extracurriculars used to be theater-y, dance-y based, and then it all changed.
Well, hats off to your folks for, you know, getting you to all that stuff. I know. I don't have children, but I have lots of friends that do, and it always seems to be something going on, getting these kids to these activities. I think it's very important. Very, very important. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I wish that jazz had more of a predominance in our school systems and whatnot for youngsters, just because of the it's very cool. And from the historical point, you know, it's very American, you know, jazz and that the history of that era and whatnot. And it's just fantastic music. Fantastic music. You know, it's a lot of fun. I think, and there you are. You're right in the middle of it, Chicago, man. Lots of jazz history there. Good stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's cool. Now I notice in your in the genre is, I hate genres just because a lot of people, especially artists in the creative field, sometimes branch out from them, and I hate for. A genre, but I guess, you know, in our modern world, we have to categorize things as such. But yours is labeled retro pop, which I like. I think that's because I kind of had an idea when I first read that before I even heard
mm-hmm.
the music, you know.
Awesome.
That's, mm-hmm. yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. Now, you've got right now a big tour that's coming about, or has it already started?
It's going to be starting at the end of July. It's our first, like, national tour where I'm taking my whole band. It'll be that last week in July. We're hitting the road and taking names.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. No, have, you know, that's kind of involved, too, having the how many people's in the band? What are you signing up for here, Elle?
That's a great question. I ask myself that every day. But
when you talk to jazz people, they're like, a whole band, I mean, that could be a lot of people, or it could not be, you know what I mean?
It can.
There's a wide spectrum there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be bringing my 5-piece band, which is kind of like they're at every gig. That's a full band show. So guitar, keys, drums, bass.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. It's
No. We can all fit in the van comfortably.
Years ago, my first big party we used to go nightclubbing all the time, and me and my girlfriend, she would take forever getting ready, and I was watching a movie before we went out called Swing Kids, about these Jewish kids in World War II, and they would throw these underground parties, and the Nazis hated it. It was a big thing. But apparently, when I went to this particular nightclub this night, this was back in Detroit, this club was held in the basement of a big old hotel downtown, and apparently, I was talking to the guy who owned the building, and I'd had a few drinks in me, and decided I could throw one of these swing parties, and, you know, that would just be the coolest thing ever. So, needless to say, I kind of didn't remember. I had a couple drinks in me. But apparently, I rented this ballroom of this grand hotel for New Year's Eve and decided to throw a big swing party. And I had... tracked down, and this is in the days, folks, before the internet, but I had tracked down new people who knew some people in Chicago, a full swing band, and I said, well, how many people could be in the band, you know, and had to give them rooms and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, 19 people were in that particular band.
That's a big band right there.
Yeah. I'm telling you, but yeah, it was a good time. We had a good time. But yeah, you know, because you just don't know, you know, they even had a spoon player. you never know.
Oh,
but that's
awesome.
Cool. it was great. There was a lot of potluck dinners while they were in town, and I got to feed all these people. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. That's cool. So this, you're heading to, I'm looking, and folks, we have a link up to Elle's website, elkazaza.com. It's on our show page and also on my website. When you click on that, it's a fantastic website, too. If you go to shows up at the top, it's navigation, it gives all the dates here. And, well, here you're playing the City Winery Riverwalk before the big tour starts. That's a free concert. That's in July 9th, right? That's cool. That's a cool gig.
Mhm. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm looking forward
and
to that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and folks, it's free, so you know that means in all ages. That's a very, very good things like that. If any youngsters, any young bucks listening, those are great date nights. Take your gal or whomever out, and they'll think you're James Bond. Trust me on this, guys. This is what you want to go see. And it looks like you splashed out on the big thing and, you know, fantastic music. Now, the show starts and it shows you're playing, Lincoln Center, all these places here. This is amazing. The Bowery, I should say. You're just going all over the place here. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. You know, go out to the East Coast, come back, sing a bunch of songs with a bunch of different bands, and, you know, live the dream.
That's awesome. That's awesome. One of the things, folks, like I said, if you go there, you can get tickets. You can find out where all the different dates are and whatnot, because there's a lot of them. And Elle will probably most likely be going through your town. A lot of stuff out there on the East Coast. Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that strikes me about you, Elle, and besides your fantastic music, is you are incredibly stylish, too, and has an affinity for hats and sunglasses. I love it. Have you always been a fashion plate?
I think more for the stage than in my day-to-day life, but, you know, it's like fun. It's always been kind of a fun, like, part of the process of getting, you know, onto the stage and doing the whole thing, because it's, you know, the visual goes along with the audio, you know, to kind of create that vibe for the audience. But I'd say probably the more fashion, like, really contemplating the whole package has kind of come in play within, I'd say, the past, like, year and a half or so. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
I don't know. My mom's a seamstress, so I grew up like sewing clothes and like learning how to sew. And I've always really liked clothes and like costumes. Not that I like wear costumes or anything, but just like construction of clothing and how it can convey some type of emotion or setting. You know, has been important. I think just, you know, growing up, learning how to sew and sewing with my mom.
Well, it's fantastic. My girlfriend, Danny, she makes costumes. She's into this whole, I don't know if you've heard of this cosplay thing where they dress up like superheroes and things like that and go to conventions. Yeah, so I share my art studio, but three-quarters of it's painting stuff, and then she has her area over there of, you know, with dress forms and machinery of that nature and whatnot. Racks and racks of fabric. So it's a lot of stuff. I hear what you're saying. I have always been into clothes. I don't know what it was. It's just who I am. I enjoy it. I used to be a little more flashy, I guess. People would ask me, you know, why are you wearing a purple suit? I'm like, why would I wear a tan one?
Exactly.
I like dressing like the Joker. I'm kidding, kind of. My big thing is ties now. I have a million ties. I think as you get older, as a guy, that's one of the. It's easier to get away with a little more outrageousness with ties than other things. But I still like it. That's cool. So you have a EP out, right? No, it's full album, right?
It's a full album.
Nice. And we're going to play a track of that from that here in a little bit. This is available, though. Your all of your tracks are available where people buy digital music, right? iTunes, Amazon,
yes.
Google Play and the like.
Everywhere.
Nice. Nice. There you go, folks. And that's cool. That's cool. I always tell people also one of the great places to pick up music from an artist is at a show. Get out and see the show. Exactly. There's always a merch table.
There's always a merch table.
You know, it's funny, as a painter, I stole that idea from my musician friends, because I would go to all these shows and, you know, they were selling t-shirts and stuff, and I'm like, man, not everybody can afford, you know, even my cheap, the lowest $100 for a painting or something, not everybody can afford that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can afford a $20 t-shirt with that painting on it.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's, and then they're a walking billboard, which is a good thing. That's cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. CyberPolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
And remember, folks, use my code POPROCKS when ordering from Metal Babe Mayhem. POPROCKS, POPROXX. You get 20% off your whole order. I mean, how cool is that? Again, use my code POPROCKS when ordering from Metal Babe Mayhem.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun. Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS. That's ROXX for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Now, when you write your music, piano-based writing, or do you write with guitar?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it just kind of depends on my mood, because usually how a song, like, starts is it'll just, like, pop a lyric and, like, just a melodic line will pop into my head, and whatever's closest is what I end up writing the song on, you know, and so that's kind of how that works. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll start, if I'm, like, trying to just force myself to write, like, okay, let's just, you know, get the creative juices flowing, then I'll, like, pick an instrument and kind of, like, just groove on that. But usually it's just whatever is closest. Usually a piano, just because it's a little easier to, like, figure out chords, like, very instantaneous. But, you know, they both have their pros and cons. And, you know, sometimes I'll write a song on piano and then I'll figure it out on guitar. And I'm like, ooh, I like playing it on guitar better. And I'll abandon its original.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, it's interesting that you say, you know, you'll have a line that'll strike you. Now, I imagine somewhere, is there a book or a file on your phone or some such, just chock full of lines, you know, that you come up with and you're like,
yes.
Ooh, I got to remember that one.
Yep.
That doesn't surprise me.
My voice memos app is full of just like song idea or like the name, the like line of the lyric, like blah, 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 song idea. And sometimes they get written and sometimes they go untouched, but they're there.
Right, right. Well, and the cool thing, you know, I have a sketchbook like that where it's, and there's not like this page is dedicated to this idea and the next page, it is a big mess, which is totally different than how I normally work. But there are times when I'm like, man, I don't know what to paint today. And I'll grab the sketchbook and start looking through that. I'm like, oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Let's go that direction. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Now, when you were, this wasn't your latest album. Was this your first album or you've had albums before this, right?
This was like my first full-length album. I did an EP right out of college. But yeah, this was the first full-length and I went like full out on it. We had, you know, on the first EP, it's just guitar, vocals, bass, drums. And on this album, I was like, we're going big. We did horn arrangements. We did a little string arrangements. We put some electronic stuff on there. We just like, I was like, we're doing it. We're going hard.
And I forgot to mention, and one of these days I'll get, you know, nothing but professionalism here. Folks, the name of the album is Proof. P-R-O-O-F. Proof. So yeah, so you can find it when you're looking it up. That's important. yes, El Cazaza, Proof. Very, very cool. Now, that's cool. Now, do you, you know, when you're writing and you're doing a big sound like that and bringing in things like horn sections and stuff, I mean, that's in your head, huh? I mean, you're hearing that and saying, okay, this is what this needs. This needs a horn section here.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated by that.
A lot of it, too. Yeah, and a lot of it, too, does come with collaboration from my band. I mean, I've worked with these guys for a long time, and some of them I've gone to school with, and, you know, that actually some of them did, like, I did a couple arrangements on the album, and then a lot of my band members were like, oh, I'd love to do an arrangement on this tune, and I loved it, so it's very collaborative. But, yeah, I always have the general idea, like, oh, this song needs to have, like, if it's in its full form in a recorded state, like, oh, it needs to have this, this, and this, you know? Yeah.
That amazes me. I, like I said, I love music. I love listening to it, love watching it perform. And you know, all kinds of music. You know, I like good music. That's what I tell people. People oftentimes ask me, you know, what kind of music are you into? I'm like, good music. You know, that's what I'm – any kind of music can turn me on as long as it's good, you know, and it resonates.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting when I listen to like classical music, you know, you're listening to Bach or somebody like that, or even jazz, you know, some of the standards and whatnot. And I'm always amazed. I'm like, because I always think, I'm like, man, did he know that, you know, four violins needed to come in at that point? And, you know, it just, because to me, I'm like, I don't have that software in my computer. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow,
yeah.
It blows me away. Speaking to musicians like yourself, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very. So the tour is going to start. You're getting ready for it, and so New York is the first stop, right? You're heading out on the official tour. You got a couple dates before then, and then the Big Apple. Nice.
And the Big Apple.
That's right. The city's so nice, they named it twice. Very, very cool. Now, have you played these venues before? Is this a lot of these venues new stops for you?
They are all brand new, which is very exciting. Always nice to play at new venues and with new bands. All brand new.
Wow, that's amazing.
Big old adventure.
Now, your primary instrument, of course, is your voice and whatnot, but I imagine you got to, throw a lot of stuff in the bus as well. You know, you got to put on a show. That's amazing. Is it I mean, is that difficult when facing a big tour like this to say, okay, we need this, we definitely need that. We don't need 57 guitar chords, but we might, so let's take 50. You know, just the logistics of planning all this and whatnot.
You know, when it comes to planning with the band, it's not too difficult. I guess, like, logistically, like, what we're going to bring, sure, that'll be difficult because we're going to be in a minivan. But, yeah, it'll be tight, but, you know, who doesn't love a good game of Tetris?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's good. Oh, man, that's awesome. And there has to be room for all the various hats that Elle's going to bring along as well.
Of course. The hats are non-negotiable.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. One of the things I do like on your website where you've listed all these shows and whatnot is you include, and I think this is very smart, the age, because you do have a lot of, I imagine you have a lot of wide range of listeners, you know. Some of these venues are 18 plus, some are 21 plus. It just depends on the venue. And that's cool. I have a lot of people on the show. A lot of people forget that kind of stuff. You know, I've actually gotten emails from people, hey, I went and saw this band that you had on, and I couldn't get, I'm like, well, I'm sorry about that. You should always check that. And how can you be 18 without a fake ID? I don't know, but no, I'm kidding, folks. Don't do that. That's a bad thing. I never did that. I just read about it online or something. Anyway, that's cool. Now, when you were making Proof, a lot of musician friends I know will, when they're putting together an EP or a long playing full album, they usually have in their hand a whole bunch of cards, so to speak, representing tracks. And they say, okay, this will fit. This is what I'm going for. But some say, you know, okay, this is the theme of what we're doing, so we're just going to start fresh and write this. Which direction did you take with Proof?
Proof was more like, oh, I have all these songs that are ready to go, and I need a few more. So it was like half fresh start, half like some songs that have just been ready for like 2-3 years that were just ready to get recorded. You know, as the evolution of my songwriting has gone on. So I think there are about 3 songs that are on the album that I wrote just for the album. And the rest are all, they've just been ready to go.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. That's cool. No, did, were there any, like permeations or changes that had to be made to, existing stuff, or it was just ready? They were ready.
We definitely spent time with every song, but leading up to the album, we had 3 really long rehearsals where we just were like woodshedding, you know, working out some of the older songs, you know, we've done for a while, but like, okay, we need to be so very specific now. Cause like when I introduce a new song to the band, like usually how it'll work in the end is I'm like, oh, okay, we have this gig coming up. Here's a new song. We're going to perform it at this gig. And it's like, let's just do it, you know, just like get it out there. So those rehearsals were an opportunity to really refine and say like, okay, the drums are going to be doing this, then the guitar part will do this, so therefore the keyboard part should do this, and just get it really tight and clean. So there were not any large changes, but little subtle things, I think, you know, tidied up, kind of like zipped up and cinched. Yeah.
Outstanding. That's cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive Digital Microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.
Right now at Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory, save 50 to 70% off everything in stores and online. That's right, 50 to 70% off everything. Celebrate the 4th with dresses from $19.99 at Banana Republic Factory. And at Gap Factory stores, tees start at $4.99. Plus, save an extra 40% off clearance. Sale ends Tuesday. Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store, or shop us online.
Hey everybody, pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget. And, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
It, like I said, it's such a something I appreciate so much, and such a different way of working than what I'm used to creatively. That's cool, man. That's very cool. And even the collaboration, you know, working with other people, that's a process you seem to find easy to do, you know, even though your name's on the door, you know. I envy you. It's hard for me to do that kind of stuff, you know. Of course, then the only person I can be upset when something doesn't work is me, you know.
Yeah.
That's sometimes a bitter pill. But that's cool. One of the things also that I like about your approach to your music is, of course, you have these fantastic videos, which are on your website, pardon me, and also, you know, on YouTube and the like. Mm-hmm. What do you think about video and making videos? Is this a process you enjoy, or a necessary evil?
I think it's necessary, but I think it's very fun because, you know, when I write these songs, or just in general, when I listen to music, like I envision, I make up what's going on in my brain, you know, in my mind's eye, I can see different scenarios, and maybe it's just because I loved theater growing up. But I think the music videos are really fun too, because it's like, it's another way to really show your true intention with the song, I think, because, you know, when someone listens to a song, they're going to interpret it their way, and maybe they want to know, or maybe mm-hmm. they don't want to know what your interpretation of it is. Because I remember, like, I think, it was Lady Gaga's song Alejandro, and I had, like, my freshman year mm-hmm. of college, that was on, and I listened to it all the time. And then I finally saw the music video, and I was like, oh, that's not what I envisioned in my head at all. You know, like, I saw her full artistic right. vision, you know, versus, like, in my mind, like, what the scene was. So I think the visuals are really fun, you know. It, like, it just adds that extra mm-hmm. layer of storytelling. Yeah, plus who doesn't love, like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, running around and lip syncing to your own music, which is hilarious. Oh, it's really funny with Too Bad, and unfortunately we couldn't use it in the actual video, but the day we were filming it, this camp was like stranded. It was pouring rain on the outside scenes, which is why there's a lot where we're like under the pavilion, and it was awesome because there was this camp of like, I don't know, 12 little girls, and they were like watching us. We're like, hey, you guys want to do the video, be in the video? Unfortunately they couldn't be in it because we had, you know, they were at camp and we didn't have their parents there,
right.
So we're like, oh, we can't use this unless we want to get, like, sued. But, you know, it's just kind of like,
right.
it was fun and it's cool. And I think those, like, the girls learned the song.
I'm telling you, Al.
It was very fun.
You changed some lives there. I'm telling you, that was, for them, I can only imagine that was the coolest thing. when I was a kid, I was 12 years old. I was with a family friend on vacation. We were in Baltimore, and the downtown area has these big old tall sheds and an aquarium. We were down there doing the tourist thing, and I was a normal little kid. I had a Spock haircut, you know, I mean, just a normal, I think I was like 11 or 12, something like that. And this guy came around the corner, and he had a big mohawk, and he was with these two girls. He had one on each arm, and I don't know, he was eating oysters or something strange, but I was just awestruck by his hair. I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. It, you know, he looks like a peacock or a rooster. So it was amazing. And he caught me looking, and he looked at me and he said, kid, it's all about the hair. And my life changed.
I love it.
From then on.
Yeah.
Was, that's right. Came back from vacation. I'm like, I have to at least get my hair spiked. My mom wouldn't go for the mohawk, but yeah, it was all about the hair. So I imagine for those young ladies seeing this, you know, this very glamorous person making a video and whatnot, I bet their lives were changed. That's amazing. That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I love your videos.
It's
fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I tell you, let's play the, we've got the track, the single. It's called You. And let's play it. Let's play it. Let people know about it. We'll play it, and then we'll talk about it. Here it is, everybody.
Okay.
This is L. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hmm?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I cut you off there, L. I apologize about that.
Oh, no, you're good.
This is a... Oh, okay. Good. It's hard on the phone, you know what I mean? Because if we were sitting across from each other, you could pick up on visual cues and what... but we're doing the best we can. This is El Kazaza, everybody. This is
Kazaza.
The new single, You. That's right. Here it is.
With the bad, yeah, you'll take forever.
That was the new single from El Kazaza, You. El, fantastic track. I like that.
Thank you.
And, you know, kind of a different venue than some of your previous stuff that I've seen on your video. Very soulful. Good stuff. How did that particular track come about?
So this was, I think, the last song that ended up getting written for the album. Because I had, you know, I had maybe, like, I think 1 or 2 weeks until we went into our, like, crazy rehearsal schedule. And then we did it. And this song came, I had kind of a rough emotional night, you know, like one does. Because that's life.
I just remember
a few nights later, like, that "You don't see what I see" came, like, instantly to me. I was just like, I don't even know what I was doing, but it was like, it popped in my brain. I was like, oh, I gotta write this down. And I wrote the whole first verse. And then what was interesting about it was that was all I had for a while, for, like, I want to say a week or two, and maybe I'd already had one of our grueling, like, our long rehearsals. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try to get one more song done because I want this song album to have 8, and I played it for my band. And I was like, I don't know, like, I've only thought of the verse and the humming, and I played it for them, and they're like, everyone was like, you got to keep writing that. Like, oh, you got to keep going. I was like, okay. So the problem was I had written some choruses, and I was like, you know, it just wasn't right. It felt so forced, mm-hmm. you know? And it's such a hard balance when you're writing a song, like, because you're trying to finish a song, but you also want it to be really authentic, you know? And so I played it for them, and I think I just needed to let it sit for a day or two. And I started just playing what I had, and I kind of expanded on it. And that's how the whole song kind of came to be. Once I had that chorus, the bridge fell into place, and I just, you know, I had this concept in mind of, like, I don't, you know, the song started where I had a rough night, and a friend of mine, you know, helped me get through, because that's what friends are for. And I just felt like, I don't want to put that, it's a scary place to be if you are the friend helping a sad friend, it's a scary place to be, because you don't want your friend to feel that way. And, like, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that again. I want this, you know, I want, the song's an ode to that person. And then kind of as I continued to write the song, I was like, oh, this is also, like, I don't want to let myself down, especially in that bridge. That's, like, you know, it was one of those aha moments of, like, how did I get to that point that night when I was, like, just having a real emotional time and just things seemed really bleak. And I was like, so it kind of started as this ode to this friend that really helped me out through just, like, you know, the rough night. And then, like, it turned into, like, hey, I'm not, like, I'll be there for myself as well. Like, I'm not going to let myself down, which was kind of, it was very beautiful.
Right.
This is one of my favorites. I know I shouldn't have favorite songs because, like, they're like my children, but I do. And this is, I think, one of, you know, this is one of those. It's just everything about it. I don't know. And it's one of those songs, too, you know, when I bring a song to my band, sometimes it takes us a couple tries through to get the right feel, you know, what's it going to really sound like? And this song just, like, wrote itself. Like, I brought it in, and we all just knew what to do, which is just, like, so beautiful and rare and lovely.
I was, in my world, it's, and oftentimes I'll say that, you know, me and Danny, my girlfriend will be having dinner or out to dinner or something, and I'll see it, you know, in my mind. I'm like, oh, I see it. I know what to do. It when that clicks, when that light bulb goes off, and it all seems so simple, and it just makes sense, you know, the project.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I've yet to find a cocktail that's that good, that'll give you that good a feeling. Because it isn't always the case, man. I don't know if it's that way with you. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting to me. I was talking to somebody at a party the other day about this. You know, when you finish, people with your work, they hear the finished product, and they're like, oh, you know, yeah, that, you know, she had some time this weekend and knocked out a a hit song, you know. Fantastic piece of work. That isn't the case, man. They don't see the fight to get to that point that sometimes ensues. I know it's that way with my paintings. Everybody's like, oh, you just knocked that out. I'm like, yeah. I was ready to throw it in the street a few times beforehand. That is nice. That is nice when it happens. So I have to ask about this question just because, you know, inquiring minds want to know. The particular person that this song initially that gave you that rough, are they aware of this song?
Oh, yeah. They know.
Yeah.
They know.
I gotcha.
They know.
That could be interesting or awkward or maybe both. That's cool, though.
No, it's good.
And so sometimes, you know, as artists and creative people, I have a friend of mine who recently went through a bad breakup and whatnot, and we were talking, and you know, he's like, oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm like, he's a country singer. I'm like, you're a country singer, man. This is a whole lot of fuel for a lot of projects. Use it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Get to work. That's amazing. On a different note, I want to tell everybody on the website, if you go on the navigation page, right over to the right of that, is a very cool thing called Team Kazaza. And click on that, and this is how you can help get the word out, not only about the tour, but about Al and her fantastic music and all of this. Very, very cool that's on there. And on every page also, if you scroll down to the bottom, there's links to all of Elle's social media. And very important these days to like, follow, subscribe, all that kind of jazz. Because not only do you keep abreast of what's happening, updates and all this cool stuff, it helps when organizing tours and stuff. A lot of these venues will want to know what are the numbers like, you know, this and that. It's just the way, you know, way that business works. So, you know, get on there, like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. What do you think? Now, you grew up probably using social media and whatnot. You probably had a cell phone in your hand, or a smartphone, I should say, in your hand, since you were knee-high to a tall Indian. Is social media just part of the game?
It's a necessary evil, I find. It's part of it. I mean, I do it, and it's cool, and I just, you know, I don't know. It feels a little self-indulgent to be doing it, like, hey, check me out, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if you don't do it, then
right.
What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's part of the game, so you're just like, well, all right, let's do this. And, you know, what is really cool about it, I think, is that it's a really good way to engage with, you know, fans and people who are interested in music, and a really great way, too, to connect with other artists. I will tell you what, having social media has been actually really helpful, because I've contacted a lot of the bands we're doing this tour with. I contacted them through Facebook. I just, like, looked up the band, and I checked out their Facebook page and their music. Like, all right, I'll just send them a message on Facebook. And you know what? I got the most responses when I contacted people through Facebook versus email. So, you know, it's got its negatives, certainly, but it's also been very positive.
It's very true. It amazes me. I've been doing the show a couple of years, and the first year I started doing it, a friend of mine who's in terrestrial radio is the one who got me involved in all this. And he goes, you know, why don't you do these? He goes, I think these podcasts are going to be the new thing. And he goes, you know, a lot of, you know, celebrities and whatnot. So, you know, do it. And that was great for about 6 months. And I ran out of people to have on the show, you know, that I knew personally. And so you started, like you said, contacting people and whatnot. And I had this guy, I hadn't contacted him. He actually got a hold of me through Facebook. And he's like, hey, you know, this is crazy. He's like, I'm in this heavy metal, this death metal band. And, you know, we'd love to be on your show. And I'm like, well, you know, send me your stuff. I'd check it out. And he's like, yeah, you know, and it turns out this group of kids were in Mozambique in Africa. They were the big heavy metal act in Mozambique. And who would have thought? Not me. Yeah, it blew me away. Very crazy. So it just goes to show, you know, music is universal and all that. Very cool. Folks, the name of Elle's album is Proof. I want you to go out and get it. It's very important. If you don't have iTunes and all of that, you can also pick it up on click the store button on Elle's website here, and it'll get you over there, and you can pick it up right there. Very, very cool stuff. And also, Elle, I want to give a big shout out. I don't know who did it, but I, as a visual guy, you know, I love your photo shoot and your press stuff and your graphics.
Thank you.
Buy them a cup of coffee next time you see them. They did a really good job. I love it.
Oh.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's Dory Chronic. She's amazing. She's a good friend of mine, and she's really good at what she does, let me tell you. So, Dory Chronic. Shout out to Dory.
Absolutely. You know, and it's so important. And you've got it down, Elle. You know all this stuff. You know, it's so great that you have such a good team. You surrounded yourself with such a good team of people that are, you know, just pushing it to the next level. You know, it's that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many people,
pretty lucky,
especially starting out, don't realize that. You know, and that's cool that you know, you've got that down. One of the people, one of the groups you work with, I should say, is the Miles High Production. Folks, I don't know how that business works. We have a link to Miles High. We've been doing some work with them for a while now, and they're just fantastic over there. But we have a link. If you need help with your digital PR or whatnot, get them in your corner, man. Get them in your corner. Get a hold of Francesca. I don't know, pick up her dry cleaning. Do what you got to do to get them helping you out there. Good stuff. Good stuff. No, I think it'll probably involve writing a check, but do that as well. They want that more than their dry cleaning. Very, very cool. Well, Elle, you're going to, you know, break a leg on this tour and everything. I wish you were coming down south a little bit. Well, I guess that'll be the next one.
The next one.
The wintertime. That's right. We'll get you in South Florida for the
perfect.
Next one.
That sounds great. You know what? That's great. Let's do it. I'll put this in motion.
Anytime. I'm a 10-minute walk from the beach, and we're building a stage in our backyard. We just bought a house last year. Quite the project. Good stuff. Cool. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show and taking time out of your schedule. You know, I know you're a busy lady these days, getting ready for all this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Thanks for having me.
I can't wait to have you on again.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Great.
Very cool. Well, folks, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us tonight. It's a Wednesday night. Of course, this this show will be converted to a podcast, I should say, and pushed out on all the various social media platforms, including iTunes. If you are listening to the show in the future on iTunes, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. Doesn't cost anything. It puts us up at the top of the page, and that's where our advertisers just love us to be. And, you know, that's a good thing. Keeps the lights on around here. So that's I like it.
Yeah.
Elle, thanks again so much for being on the show. You're awesome.
Thank you. Thanks.
Absolutely. And just keep doing what you're doing. You're real good at it, you know?
Oh, thank you so much. It's quite the journey, I'll tell you that.
But it's worth it. You're making it happen. Making
that's
it look
right.
easy. That's good.
Ooh,
that's a good thing. Cool, folks. Well, tonight, let's see, tonight's Wednesday. Hey, we will be back Monday. I'm actually off for the rest of the week here. And so we'll see you Monday night. And right before the holiday and all that, getting ready for all of that. Are you doing something for the holiday there, Elle? Are you having a barbecue or some such?
Oh, yeah.
A jazzy brunch,
I'm going to. Jazzy brunch. Nah, I'm going to be with my parents, and some friends are coming up. My parents get a cottage, and they just happen to get one on 4th of July weekend, so we're going to all do a big thing, eat food, lay on the beach. The American dream.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy yourself, and, you know, it'll be a good time. Rest up before the big push here, before the big tour. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Have a super weekend. Keep your powder dry and all that. We will see you on Monday. Good night, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.